Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Tuesday, November the 10th, 2020, 11-10-20. All right, 14 and a half minutes past the hour, and we were so happy to welcome Tracy Kinsler on the program this morning, Marion Public Health Commissioner, to get an update on what's going on with COVID-19 here in Marion, Ohio. And the news is not great. The numbers are on the rise. We have had 6 deaths in the last 6 weeks. Now, yes, these have been older people in general, but there doesn't seem to be anything that can be done at this point to curb the numbers except having people not get together. That seems to be what's going on. Now, I don't know. I'm not sure what has happened. Maybe it is that we are all just a little lax at this point, and we're not taking it as seriously as we once did. But to have the numbers be at an all-time high right now is very interesting. And I still find the fact fascinating that Tracy and I had talked about this morning about how if you go to a restaurant and the server has a mask on, but you take your mask off to eat, that the server is now exposed. Because this was a discussion we had a few weeks back, that does you wearing a mask protect you? And as Tracy said, it does not. If that other person does not have a mask on, you are not protected, because the virus can go in through your eyes. So the only way to have full protection is to have everybody have a mask on. Now, this is interesting to me because far before the pandemic, there were certain people who would wear masks if they had the flu or something like that. And I guess they were protecting others from them, but I guess it never protected them from others. You can wear a mask anywhere, and if somebody else has got the virus, then you can get the virus. That's what we know about masks, because your eyes can contract it just as easy as your mouth and nose. So there you go. What more can you say? Does anybody have anything to say about this or what Tracy had to say earlier on? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. 17 minutes past the hour here. And I do want to remind you again that the Clarendon United Methodist Church on State Route 95 in Clarendon is holding its 43rd Holiday Bazaar on Saturday, November 14th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. There will be all kinds of homemade gifts, baked goods, sweets, homemade noodles, crafts, and much more. All current COVID recommendations will be followed. This is the Clarendon United Methodist Church's Holiday Bazaar this coming Saturday, November the 14th, from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. And we also talked yesterday about the Thanksgiving dinners here in Marion that have went on for years now, and we learned that Day Spring Church will be carry out this year. You will not be able to go to Day Spring and sit down and have Thanksgiving, but you will be able to go in and get carry out. And the dinner that had taken place at Emmanuel Lutheran just is not going to be taking place this year. Apparently, according to their sign, they have canceled that because of the pandemic. And, you know, you look at this big picture at this point. As Tracy was saying, there are really no safeguards that can be put into place right now for how this is spreading. There's really no way to deal with it because we've got the mask mandate. The businesses have been told to do what they've been told to do, but apparently a lot of this is not happening in businesses. This is happening because of private congregations. And I think we all knew that in a way this was probably going to happen. Because as the weather gets colder and all of these things start to come up, like Halloween and the election and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, that people want to be with other people. Now, Easter, Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, I think a lot of people kind of did away with those and thought, okay, you know, let's just not do it. So many fireworks shows were canceled this past year. Fairs were canceled. Festivals were canceled. But you're not seeing a whole lot of that right now. You know, these holiday bazaars are taking place. It's a different feeling right now than it was in the summer. And I don't know necessarily what has caused that. But it certainly has caused this pandemic to take a little bit of a different turn than maybe normally it would have. Does anybody have any thoughts on this, or is this worrisome to some people at this point? Because I think we do have to be aware of how many people are contracting this, and I think we do have to be aware that the hospitals are starting to fill up. Now, they are not at capacity as of yet or anything like that, but if we continue at the rate that we're on, that's going to be difficult. And as Tracy was saying, you know, you have to drop your relative off at the hospital, and basically they're in isolation there. You can't visit them. That's a whole nother aspect to this that is just horrible. Just a horrible part of this whole pandemic because of the contagiousness of this illness and because of it being a viral infection. Again, if anybody's got anything to say, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I would love to hear from you on this topic because it's a big topic. It's right now. And do you think that good sense will come to people and they will stop having these big congregations outside of businesses? Because apparently that is the issue. That these things will back off or back down or however you would put it, and things will get better. And a lot of people feel this has to do with adults. That it's really not about kids at this point, that this is more centered in on adults making these decisions. Which, that's another sidebar to this whole thing that's kind of fascinating. But again, phone lines will stay open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say, go ahead and say it. Also, if anybody's got anything to say about this whole predicament in general, because I think the firsthand stories about what has happened with COVID are interesting. You know, there are so many people who listen to this station, and with the numbers going up so high, at this point, everybody is probably bound to know somebody who has tested positive for this illness. And what has that been like for your family? And the long term of this has also been a question. And we talked about that with Tracy this morning, about how people are getting ill, and it just kind of sticks with them. And it sticks with them for a long, long time. And that also is very unfortunate. And I don't know if that is still commonly known to the people in the community. It's this whole time is going to be looked back on as a time in the United States where we certainly decided to do what we wanted to do, but were we doing the right thing? You know, only time will tell. I guess the businesses are open. I guess this is good. But boy, have you seen all the stories about all the businesses that are still closing up, that are not getting the business that they once got? That's, it's very depressing to see all the businesses closing up. And nothing you can do about it at this particular point. And as I said earlier, one of the big problems with this is there has not been a stimulus check for quite a while now. You know, we had a stimulus back in April, and that was right after this all started. It started in March, and the stimulus came in April. Well, you know, now we're into November, and there hasn't been anything since. And people, if they're called and told that they have tested positive for COVID, they're probably not going to want to stay home because they want to go to work and make the money. And they're probably not going to say who they've come in contact with because they don't want that person to have to self-isolate because they've got a family and they've got to go to work and make money. You know, money is a heavy-duty driver when it comes to this as time goes on. But I guess at this point, we are where we are, and people will make the decisions based upon what's going on. Do you think, because now it's left up to the people, frankly, that's where we are. It's no longer about putting mandates in place from the government. It's no longer about rules being put into place. It's just people are going to have to listen. Do you think they will? That's the question. Do you think people will listen? Does anybody have an opinion on this? If you do, give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think in the end, people are going to listen and it's going to pull us out of the situation that we are currently in so we don't get into a bad situation in November, in December, in January, with hospitals who might have overcrowding? Will people start to listen? Will people pay better attention? What is the end game of this whole thing? Now, I'll tell you a funny story yesterday. As I told you yesterday, I went to Tony Paco's over the weekend up in Toledo. And I was telling a story yesterday about the person I was with in Toledo eating one of Tony Paco's hot dogs and having an issue that every time they bit into the hot dog, it made kind of a crunching noise. Now, that's just because of the casing that the hot dog is in, because it's a Hungarian hot dog. And I guess I'd never noticed that before. The previous times that I had been to Tony Paco's, I had never noticed that it did that. But I was so nervous about the other person not liking the hot dog, because they are not a fan of spicy things, that I was paying more attention than normally I would to the sounds that a hot dog would make. So I was telling the story about how the hot dog was crunching every time every time that person took a bite of it. And I got a Facebook message last night from somebody who said, I heard you talking about that Tony Paco's hot dog this morning, about how it made a noise, a crunch, every time you bit into it, and it made them sick. Now, it really wasn't that bad. It wasn't like that. It just made a little noise. You know, kind of like if you're eating, let's say, potato chips. You know, when you're eating potato chips, they crunch when you put those in your mouth. When you're eating popcorn, it makes a certain noise when you put it in your mouth. I think when you eat like a Slim Jim, A matter of fact, wasn't the commercial for Slim Jim for years break into a Slim Jim or something like that, that it makes a noise when you bite into it? And pretty much the Hungarian hot dog at Tony Paco's is very similar to that in that way. It just makes a noise, I think, because the casing is tight, which is the difference between it and a regular hot dog. The casing on a regular hot dog is not all that tight. You know what this always makes me think about? They always say, when it comes to hot dogs and bologna, that you do not want to see how they are made. Well, you know, I honestly, that probably is true, that you don't want to see how they're made if you are eating those foods. But do you really want to see how any food you eat is made? That's a meat? I don't think you want to see how pork chops are made. I don't think you want to see how ground beef is made. I don't think you want to see how roast is made. I don't think you want to see how any of that is made. I think you probably just want the food. You know, I know a lot of people who have become vegetarians who have gotten off meat, namely because they saw how the food was being prepared. I don't think it's ever a good idea to see how food is prepared. Which brings me to the restaurant business. Because the years I worked for about 7 years in the restaurant business. And what I always found interesting about it was people would go into restaurants and it would almost be like a false paradise for them. People would go into restaurants and they based everything on how the restaurant looked, like the dining room or the servers, how they looked, how they dressed, so on and so forth, when really what it's all about is the people cooking the food. And you don't get to see the people cooking the food. And the 7 years that I spent in the restaurant business, I got to see the people cooking the food. And, you know, in some cases, it was perfectly fine. And in some cases, I always thought if people could have seen who was cooking the food, that they probably would not think so highly of that restaurant. But that's a false paradise that we all live in. And I'll tell you something else I've never understood about restaurants since we're on this subject this morning. You know, waitresses, waiters, servers, whatever you want to call them, they have always lived off their tips because servers do not make minimum wage. So they live off their tips. Now, I have never understood why we penalize the server if the food is bad. Now, if they're not refilling your drink or something like that, yes, I would put that on the server, because that's pretty much all on them. But if your food is not out in time, or there's something wrong with your food, your server didn't cook your food, and the reason your food probably was not out on time was because the kitchen did not have it ready on time. So I never understood why we always penalize servers as people, cut their tips back, if the food wasn't out on time or the food was bad. Because they have nothing to do with that. They don't cook it. And you know, it's funny because the kitchen staff does not work on tips. So they get paid either way, if the food's out quick or not. That's why there's always a lot of back and forth in the back of a restaurant about where's my food, where's my food, did I put my ticket in, so on and so forth, because the server knows that their money is dependent on getting that food out there quickly, but that's all dependent on if the cook is cooking it quickly enough. So to be honest with you, I've never understood that. Does anybody get that? Why we penalize the server for the food? Like I say, not refilling your drink, your coffee, whatever you have. Yeah, that's on the server. I understand that. But when it comes to the food part of the business, I don't understand how we penalize the server for that. And I don't understand, and I brought this up a few weeks ago, and I still don't understand this. I don't know if I talked about this on the air or not, but I know I had this conversation with somebody. You know, servers still don't make minimum wage, as I have said. They're still working off their tips. But we tip the pizza delivery man, and that person makes minimum wage or better. I know sometimes there are bonuses to hire pizza delivery men. People who cut your hair, that seems to be another place where we tip. Now, those people make minimum wage or better. So I guess my point is, I'm not saying that we shouldn't tip the pizza man, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't tip the barber or the hairdresser or whatever you call it. I'm just curious as to why servers do not make minimum wage when pizza people, pizza delivery people, and people who cut your hair do make minimum wage. Why wouldn't we bump servers up to minimum wage and then let them keep their tips, just like we do with barbers and pizza delivery people? I don't understand what the difference is there, because I've seen a lot of people tip their barbers, you know, $5, $10, whatever it may be. Usually the pizza delivery man, in all the cases I've ever seen, always gets a minimum of $5. And now this whole DoorDash thing that's going on, which has changed the world, you know, they tip those people, you know, $5, $10. I've seen $20 tips in that DoorDash world. And they're certainly making better than minimum wage. So how did this whole tipping thing come about? Does anybody have any idea about this, about why servers in restaurants are the only people who do not make minimum wage? But they're not the only people who get tipped. As I say, DoorDash, pizza delivery men, people who cut your hair, they all make minimum wage at least and get the tips on top of it. So does anybody know what the reasoning is for that? And what do you tip? This has always been a big question too. What do you tip? Like I said, with the barber, I see $5, $10 tips. When it comes to the pizza man, it's usually a minimum of $5, no matter what you order. Now, in a restaurant, a little different. You know, I've seen people leave change. I've seen people leave, you know, $2. What do you tip when you go out, and what do you base it on? Because, again, I think that's fascinating, because in a restaurant, if it has anything to do with the food, that's not the server's fault. And if it does have to do with the server, let me know how you get back to that point. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you tip all these people? And what do you tip these people? I'm interested to know. Give me a buzz. And I've always noticed that people who work in restaurants or who have worked in restaurants or done these things, they tend to tip a lot more. Now, is it 20%? Because I've always heard that you should tip 20%, which that's about a quarter of your meal. That's a pretty good amount. You know, if you have a $100 meal, that's $20. Now, the other thing that's they're starting to do, which I think, I don't know, a lot of people seem to be angry with this, is automatically putting the gratuity, the tip, on your receipt. Now, I see this done in a lot of bars and more ritzy-ditzy, hoity-toity restaurants. They seem to just put it on there already. They've already got their 20 or 25% on the bill, which I don't know if that's good or not, because if the tip is already included, you're probably not going to tip more than you've already tipped, and maybe you would have. Maybe the service was really, really good, and you would have tipped more. Anybody have any thoughts on this whole tipping situation? I think it's interesting to talk about, because I think people have different ideas on how they tip and why they tip. And heavens knows, this is a much happier subject than talking about coronavirus or elections or anything else going on right now. How much do you tip? I'm interested to know. And what do you base it on? Because maybe I'm tipping wrong here. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. How does tipping go in your life? Now, I'm getting a message here on social media that this person says, I tip a lot. I tip at least 20%. At least 20%. Well, if you have really good service, what is the top out? What's the height? If the low end is 20%, what's the high end on a tip? And how much should you tip your barber? And how much should you tip your pizza delivery person? For me, the pizza delivery person, it always seems to be $5. I don't really know. I don't know how that all comes about. All right. I think everybody must be asleep this morning. You know what I think has happened in the last week? I think people are worn out. I think people are just absolutely worn out. They're talked out. It's been a week. That's for sure. But if you have anything to say, 20 minutes left in the program today, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, when somebody says they tip a lot, what's a lot? Okay, let's see here. This person's saying when they went to BW3s, they tipped like 35%. So is 35% a lot? Now, does anybody out there tip 50%? And how much of this is based on your server? How much is based on the server, and how much is based on how good the food is? Because certainly if you go in and you have bad food, that's probably not going to make you want to tip high. But again, it's really the kitchen. And what if you pick something that you don't like? You know, you thought you might like it, but here it comes and you really don't like it. Well, can we really blame the server on that? I really think it's all about the personality of the server. I think that's what we have to base that on. Let's see here. Okay, so we're getting this message again on social media. It says, my daughter went to pick up an order during the stay-at-home order. She only gave them $1, and this person stopped back by and gave them more money. The daughter, of course, is 13 years old. Now, that's an interesting thing, too. You know, I remember when I was working in the restaurant business that if a group of young kids came in, the servers did not want that table. No matter how many kids were in that group, they did not want that table because they knew they weren't going to tip very much. I guess because the connotation was that kids don't have that much money, or kids just don't understand the world of tipping. So nobody ever wanted to wait on the younger kids. And also, if you had regulars in a restaurant who came in all the time, people really did not want to wait on them either, because they tended not to tip a whole lot. And a lot of people right now during the pandemic and with the holidays coming up tend to tip more. Because, you know, these people got to go out for Christmas. These people got to go out and get the turkey. But how that's all going to work out, we still don't know about that as time goes on. Heavens knows. We really don't know much of anything right now. That's pretty much where we are. And it's weird to be in a kind of a holding pattern like that, where we really just don't know what's going on. 16 days till Thanksgiving. Are people going to get together on Thanksgiving? I don't know. If you have a very elderly adult in your family who normally has Thanksgiving dinner, would you want them to cook the dinner? Is anybody out there listening who normally prepares the Thanksgiving dinner who maybe is you know, over the age of 70 who is not going to be doing that this year? Or if you are over the age of 70, are you not going to go to your family's Thanksgiving? Have you already told them that 16 days from now? I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Might be a lot of little get-togethers this Thanksgiving. Maybe just the people who live in your house is what it might turn into at this point. And, you know, if that's what happens, maybe that's okay. Let's take the phone call here. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I am 70, but I've had a lot of health issues, and we had invited to my sister's that there's going to be 7 people from out of state coming to her house, and her and my brother-in-law are in their 70s, and she said they're getting the food from Bob Evans, and would we come? But we refused because you've got everybody from out of state, we don't know anything where they've been, and I just don't feel comfortable. So just us three are going to be home, and I'm going to get something from my elderly aunt and uncle and take it to them because they're the same in the same boat. So I just don't feel comfortable getting around a whole lot of people right now.
Well, what do you make of these numbers being on the rise and basically it all being community spread?
And people don't wear their masks. my girlfriend goes to Troy Rivers, and they just had 2 more people last week, and he is petrified because he said at school they are not made to keep their mask up over their nose. And he said, if they see them, they'll say something, but he said they just leave their mask down. They're very inconsiderate of others, and there are several teachers that are quarantining also. He leaves his mouth going around just about to eat, and he's not near anybody, so he's just paranoid about the whole situation at school. But I think it's terrible if people are talking and coughing and they don't wear a mask when they're around you. You know, I wear my mask wherever I go. I just think it's considerate to other people to do that. You know, and my husband works at Whirlpool, and he said that the majority of the people at Whirlpool leave their mask on and leave it after it goes. And he said now and then they'll slip it down for a little bit, but they're not, they aren't considerate of other people.
Well, it's going to, the big worry right now, and the doctors all came out and said it yesterday, is that if we do not get these numbers to start going down, we are not going to have enough room in these hospitals because they are seeing such an influx of people who are having symptoms who need to be treated at the hospital. But I don't think anybody's really sure how to curtail what's going on right now.
And the governor was today, Tuesday. He'll be on today, and I'm sure there's going to be cities that are going to have to go purple, because the numbers are so high. And I don't know. I don't know. And God forbid that he has to close anything, because then there's all the get rid of the governor, and he's trying to tell us what to do. He's only trying to save lives. That's what he's doing, and people are just so inconsiderate of what he's trying to do. And I think it's terrible. I mean, he really is trying. He's trying his best, and he's doing everything without, putting a halt to everything. He's, asking people not to get together and do these kinds of things. I don't know
what's going to happen. Well, and I don't know. I don't know, because people are going to get together for Thanksgiving, and I think that's probably okay if people did wear the masks and people did pay attention to who they are with and not exceed that 10-person rule. I mean, that probably would work, because if you have a mask on and the other person has a mask on, you cannot transmit it. The problem is when one person takes the mask off.
Yeah. yet, then everybody's in trouble.
Then everybody's in trouble.
And then you got people from out of state coming, and that's a little uncomfortable also, because I'm sure they're not going to leave their mask on the whole time for everybody, and you don't know where all these people have been. And, yeah, I'd like to see family. You know, I'd very much like to see family, but I've got to watch out for my health, too, because I've got my husband and my grandson that live with us, and my grandson does, and he's got health issues. And so, you know, in order to protect everybody else, we chose to stay home. Just, you know, we'll fix the whole gamut of things and just have it at home. So,
you know, I think Thanksgiving that might happen, but I think Christmas is going to be a lot harder for people, especially when it comes to services. And I'm still wondering, I mean, are things like Midnight Mass going to be canceled? Are things, those candlelight services that you see all over the place?
Yeah.
And how can you go sit on Santa's lap? I don't know how you could possibly do that.
I don't think Santa wants anybody to sit on his lap anymore.
Right.
With all the things going on, and I'm buying a lot of gift cards this year. I'm not going shopping, and I might do a few online things, but I've already talked about it, and I'm not going Christmas shopping and doing all that. I said we're just going to buy a lot of gift cards. We got a lot of older grandkids, and they just soon have the gift cards, and we'll buy a few gifts, but not very much, and just stick to something like that. I just don't want to be out there and all the hustle bustle with everybody.
Maybe it'll slow down on that holiday stress a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, and again, phone lines are open, and I love a call like that because we all learn a lot together, and we still have plenty of time for more calls here this morning. Still 10 minutes left in the program, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, you know, the holiday stress may get cut down quite a bit this year because of the situation we are in. Are people just going to buy gift cards? Are people just going to do away with going to see Santa Claus? Will these church services, the candlelight services and the midnight mass and all those things that normally happen, will they be happening? Have churches made this decision? You know, I think had we been able to keep the numbers okay, we probably would have a better shot at having these events. You know what's still fascinating me in this whole thing is that, as far as I know, the zoos are still open, the restaurants are still open, the theme parks remained open, football is still being played, other sports are still being played, but churches don't feel safe enough to give people Thanksgiving dinner. Now see, this is where the problem lies. And when I go back to the very beginning of this pandemic, I really thought, because none of us had ever seen anything like this before, but I really thought that once you told people what was going on, and once you heard of all the people that were dying, that you really didn't have to give people restrictions because they would just do them. Because they would not want to make people sick. They would not want to get themselves sick. And it would be a fairly easy process. But, you know, as we're here in the month of November, I don't know if that's true or not. Obviously, by the number count, it's not. Because there are not a whole lot of restrictions in place right now. You know, most everything is back opened. People have been told to wear the masks, but it's not a law. You know, don't have more than 10 people together, but that's not a law either. So people have been left up to their own devices now. And being left up to their own devices, we've got higher numbers than we've ever had. And, you know, also, if you look back to the beginning of this, we were not wearing masks. The big mask push, I don't think, came till July or August. I think that's when the big mask, I forget when the mask mandate came in, but it was pretty far along in this pandemic, July or August, and we still weren't having such an issue back in March and April and May and June. It was not nearly as bad as it is now. I think the conflict that's going on is that we want to keep the businesses open, but we don't want people to get sick. So, you know, if you close the businesses down, like was done before, with the stay-at-home order and all that, well, then you know people can't go because you've shut them down. But what we have found is that if you leave them open, people will go. And if people do go, the illness continues to be spread. All right, so there you go. 54 minutes past the hour here on this Tuesday morning. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have anything to say on this myriad of topics today? How much do you tip the pizza man, the person who cuts your hair, the person in the restaurant? What do you make of the pandemic situation at this particular point? What do you make of anything going on at this point? Whatever's on your mind, we'll be glad to hear about. 740-383-9944. Now, also, don't forget that coming up today on this station, we have the Adam the Computer Guy show from 2:10 until 3 p.m., Voice of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 to 6 p.m., all here today on WWGH Radio. And I do want to remind people again that the Clarendon United Methodist Church, State Route 95 in Clarendon, is holding its 43rd Holiday Bazaar on Saturday, November 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be all kinds of homemade gifts, baked goods, sweets, homemade noodles, crafts, and much more. All current COVID recommendations will be followed. The 43rd Holiday Bazaar, Clarendon United Methodist Church, Saturday, November 14th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Now, when it comes to the Tallgrass Trail here in Marion, we have got an event, I believe, coming up tomorrow, November the 11th. The Turkey Program at the Tallgrass Trail Trailhead at 4 p.m., the Turkey Program. And then on November the 14th, there will be birding at the Marion Tallgrass Trail at the Epsyville Road section at 8 a.m. Meet at the Baptist Church. So there you go. That's all coming up. Now, if you have any questions, you can call 740-223-4161. 740-223-4161. Now, has anybody been over to the Center Street Market yet? I wonder how they're doing. They've been open, what, 4 or 5 days now? They opened on Friday. Remember the Center Street Market hours, 8 to 7, Monday through Friday. Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 7. And they also have a telephone if you have any questions, 740-375-2141. Now, remember, they do not accept EBT, SNAP, or WIC, the food card, at this particular point, over at the Center Street Market. So you have to be aware of that. I wonder how much of an issue that has caused in the past few days since they've been open. I don't know. Remember, no EBT. 8 to 7, Monday through Friday, 11 to 7, Saturday and Sunday, the Center Street Market here in Marion. Kind of a slow day today here, but, you know, gives us a chance to talk about things that are going on. You know, and with so many people not feeling well, this is also becoming a tremendous issue in society right now. I don't know. You know, the elderly group and the younger group treat this completely different. The elderly, they wear their mask. They don't go out of their homes. They seem to realize what the problem is. And I'm not speaking for everybody, but the majority of them. The young people, I think it's one of those things where you just think you're impervious to everything and it doesn't really matter and you can do what you want to do and so what? And I kind of think that's where that is at this point. And we just hope people don't get it. I think that's the best we can do. Now, the good news this morning in all this is apparently the treatment of COVID-19, this pandemic, is definitely getting better. So as the treatment gets better, that's going to make everybody rest a little easier. Because in the end, this really all does come down to treatment. We want everybody who gets sick to have a way to feel better as quickly as possible. That's really the fear here. Now, again, do want to remind people, the Adam the Computer Guy show today from 2:10 to 3 p.m. Then you have Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m. today. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker, 5:10 until 6 p.m. All those programs right here on WWGH Radio. We're always streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Or you can listen anywhere in the world by downloading the free TuneIn app, and it is absolutely free in all your app stores, TuneIn, and searching WWGH, and you can hear us anywhere. For this Tuesday morning, here in Marion, the heart of Marion, downtown, this is Scott Spears, heading for the dugout. You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. For guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson. Over the course of this program, we have had a lot of great guests on. We've had U Downs, we have had David Hartman, we have had Marvin Kalb, and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, Jesse Jackson. Just great people who are no longer with us, Tony Curtis and Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows and all the great guests we've had over the last 5 years. But today, making a very special appearance with us, as I've done before, he's an icon